We're going to look in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Brother Rick says it's good to be saved. I think it's great to be saved. Little difference between being good and great. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 27, when Samuel is getting ready to anoint Saul as the king, he says something here in verse 27, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Stand thou still a while, that I might show thee the word of God. Sometimes we say that, especially to children. You're talking to them and they're just roaming around as if they're not paying attention. We say, now listen, stand still and listen to what I've got to say. We often do that. And this is what Samuel seems to be saying to Saul. Now I want you to stand still, Saul, and I want to show you the word of God. I want you to show you the word of God. We hear quite a bit about standing in connection with the Lord and salvation. I don't know where they get the phrase from, but people, especially in the Baptists, they say about taking a stand for the Lord, as if the Lord needed us to stand for him. I don't know just what they mean by that. But they say, oh, so-and-so took their stand, and took their stand for the Lord. And I just don't know what they mean by it. But the great problem with God's salvation isn't what it is, it's how to get it. A lot of people know what it is. They know the gospel. They know that Christ died for them. They know that he was buried. They believe that he rose again. But how do I get in on it? And this is a great problem that baffles the minds of people everywhere. Just how do I get the gospel? How do I get in on it? Some people will tell you to say a little prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give your heart to the Lord. Now, they'll tell you to do that, and people do that, and they don't get saved. I remember a fellow down Woodside was telling me 18 times he had professed to be saved. He said, I've been saved 18 times, but I'm not saved yet. And he had had 18 trips up in the front of a church. And he said, if I went to a church now and they give an invitation, I know I would go up to the front and I know I wouldn't be saved. I know we were, but I couldn't resist going up. He's a little bit emotional and he just couldn't resist going up. And somebody was telling him he should take a stand for the Lord, and that's what he was doing, but it just didn't work. Just how do you get in on that? Well, in a strict biblical sense, you do have to stand in order to be saved. I'm going to show you four places in the Bible where it says to stand still. And every one of these four places will have something to do with being saved. And what it literally means to stand still, it means to stop, be silent, and listen to what I've got to say. That's what Samuel is saying to Saul. Saul, you stand still. I'm going to show thee the word of God. And, of course, in this case, it was crowning him as the first king of the nation of Israel. Now, we're going to look in the book of Numbers first, and these will be four simple steps in God's salvation, all having to do with that little phrase, standing still. Numbers chapter 9, the book of Numbers chapter 9, and verse number 8. This is the first stand that you've got to take in order to be saved. You've got to stand still and hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Moses said to them, stand still, stop and listen, and I will hear what the Lord will command you. Now that's the number one stand that you've got to take in order to be saved. You've got to stop whatever you're thinking, Stop whenever, whoever you're listening to, in the sense that they're not telling you the Word of God, and you've got to stand still and listen to what the Lord has to say. After all, it's the Lord you're going to have to deal with. It's not men. And it's not your opinions that's going to get you in or out of heaven. It's what the Lord says. That's step number one. It's hearing. Hearing. Stand still and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So the first step in being saved is hearing. Hearing. I was writing to a fellow on the internet, a letter to a fellow yesterday, and he was talking about blind faith. And I said, there's no such a thing as blind faith. You can't have blind faith, it's foolishness. If you have any faith at all and anything at all, it's not blind faith, because that's absolutely something you just think up in your mind. Faith has to be based on hearing something that you haven't seen. If somebody says there's an accident down the road and you believe it, that's not blind faith. You're believing what you heard. But if you believe there's an accident down the road now and you haven't heard anything about it, that's foolishness. You're believing something that you haven't got a clue that happened. So there's no such thing as blind faith. Faith is something that comes to you, whether it's faith in what? It's faith is something that always comes to you by hearing. That's what Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says. Faith cometh by hearing. If you believe there's a war in Bosnia tonight, and Croatia, wherever it is, if you believe there's a war in there, the only reason you believe there's a war there, you heard it. That's the only reason to believe it. If you believe that Clinton is the President of the United States, it's because you've heard that news. Consequently, you can believe what you hear, but you can't believe what you never heard. Faith is always, doesn't matter what it's in or who it's in, it's always based on hearing. Faith is a firm conviction of something you've heard that you've not yet seen. If you've seen it, it's no longer faith. It's sight. So the first step is, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Or, you stand still and listen to what the Lord commands concerning you. That's all through the New Testament, all through the Bible. Not only in Romans 10:17, where it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but John 5:24 says this. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. That's the first step. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The first step had to be hearing. The Galatians were kind of foolish. We read in Galatians chapter 3 how they were turning away after they'd been saved. They were turning back again to Old Testament laws and holy days and new moons and Sabbaths and so on. And he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Tell me, how did you get saved to begin with? Was it by hearing? And of course it was by the hearing of faith. Faith always comes by hearing. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Hearing is basic. It's the first step to being saved. You've got to listen to what God has to say, and that's the foundation of faith. Because faith is only believing what God says. That's all it really is. It's nothing mysterious. It's just believing what God says. But you've got to stand still, stop, and listen to what God has to say, and that's how you get faith. Now look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to see another step. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, in the same little phrase, stand still, and verse number 7. God wants you first to stand still and listen. Then in verse number 7, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord. Stand still that I may reason with you. Now the word reason means to be able to pass a judgment upon. It means to discern between right and wrong. It has to do with the Lord correcting people. Stand still and let me reason with you. When we're told in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. The Lord is simply saying, let me point out to you the error and the sins of your way, because I've got good news for you. I'm going to make those sins that are red like crimson, I'm going to make them just like wool. I'm going to make them just like snow. Come now, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. Let me point your sins out to you, though they be like scarlet, I'm going to be able to make them as white as snow. I'm going to wash them in the blood of the Lamb, as it were. So when God says, I want your ear, I want you to listen, that's how you get faith, then he says, now I want you to reason. I want to stand still, and I want to reason with you. I want to show you what you look like in my sight. I want to show you what I think of you, how I see you, how you come across to me. I want you to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes you. And I want you to know that the wages of sin is death, and that's you too. And he goes on, and I want you to know that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. See, and he wants to point out to them here and reason with them so they'll have a sense of discernment between what is right and what is wrong, so that they'll become, they'll see their sin before God, and that they, so that they can be saved. Heaven is a perfect place, and people must be perfect to get in there. The only way we can be perfect to get in there, our sins must be blotted out. God made a perfect creation. When he said it was finished in Genesis 2 and 1, it doesn't mean just mean that he was all through working. He meant it was complete. It was perfected. It was a finished product. Like an artist painting a picture, there comes a day when he lays down his brush and he says, it's finished, complete. I can add nothing more to it. And heaven is a perfect place. And the only way a sinner can get in there, he must be perfect as well. And the only way a sinner can be perfect, their sins must be completely removed in the sight of a holy God. And this is only possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus. But it's only possible by you standing still and hearing what the Lord has to say, and standing still and letting the Lord reason with you and point out your sins and acknowledge your sinfulness before him and take your place as a repenting sinner in order to be saved. So the first step, stand still and hear, has to do with faith. The next step, stand still and let me reason with you, has to do with repentance. And that's the way to be saved. It's hearing. You must hear in order to repent. And you must hear in order to believe. So it's hearing and then repenting and in order to be saved. Luke 13 in verse 3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is an absolute necessity. And all repentance basically is having a change of mind about your sin before God. And seeing yourself and acknowledging yourself as a sinner before God, and it's an about change within you. It's confessing sin is agreeing with God about your sin. Repenting is a change of mind towards sinning against God. You can agree you're a sinner without repenting. You can confess without repenting. God requires repentance. He wants to reason with you, to show you where you're wrong, and to show you that he has something that can make your sins, wash them, and make them as white as snow. So stand still and hear is basic. Stand still and let me reason with you has to do with repentance. Now look at another one in the book of Job, chapter 37. We see that little phrase again. In Job 37, and this time it has to do with considering. Verse 14, Job 37 and verse 14. Hark hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Now, there's no doubt in the context of the verse that it's creation that's in view. Job, you stand still and consider, understand, take this in, the great creation of God. And there's probably more in the book of Job about creation and the latter part of the book of Job than any other part of the Bible. So it stands still and consider, stand still and understand. David, I think, said much the same thing. He said about considering the heavens, the work of his hand. That's creation too. But I think David in Psalm 107, I think it is, four times over, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wondrous works toward the children of men. I don't think he's talking about creation in that psalm. God's wondrous works toward the children of men isn't his great creation that he created. It's his great redemption that he's provided in Christ. See, that's his wondrous works toward the sons of men. So God says, now stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Lord. And it's a wonderful work. When you think how God, in all and his wisdom, it's amazing when you think of it, the simplicity of God's plan, and yet how profound. God had a problem. His justice would not allow him to excuse Adam for his sins. He would not be a righteous judge. He would be unholy and unrighteous when he let Adam get away with his sin, or man get away with his sin. So he had a plan. He schemed a plan. He had a plan already. And he made a provision for that sinful man. And he said, I'm going to have mercy on that sinner instead of judgment. I don't want to judge him, but I have to judge him unless I can find a way to have mercy on him. And the only way God could have mercy on him is this wonderful work and plan of salvation, not only that he planned, but that he worked when he sent his son into the world to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary as a ransom for our sins. Now that's a wonderful work. God can be absolutely holy, absolutely just, and yet he can justify the sinner. Now, that's amazing, that a holy God who hates sin and has a holy, hot displeasure towards sin of any kind has made a way that he can forgive the sinner and still be just and righteous in doing it. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Simple, isn't it? First, stand still and hear what the Lord has to say. Stand still and let me reason with you about your sins. We'll bring you to a place of repentance. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. That will bring you to a place of faith and trust in Christ. And it's only repenting sinners that can really trust Christ. If you never see your sin, you can never see God's salvation. You can know about it in your head, but you can't really see it. You can't really grasp it. You can't really take it in because you haven't really got the need until God has first got you to stand still and he's reasoned with you about your sins. So once he's done that, then you can stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Come now, let us reason together. That will bring the sinner to repentance. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's what you're to consider. That's the remedy. That's the good news. The bad news is we're sinners, but the good news is that God has a remedy for sin, and he can wash us and make us as white as snow. Hearing, that's how it all comes. Hearing will bring you to a place of repentance, of reasoning. Hearing will bring you a place of considering the wondrous works of God. And that will bring you to the step of believing, trusting, relying, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Exodus chapter 14, and then I'll close another standstill. In Exodus chapter 14, we read this about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. They come to an obstacle. An obstacle that they didn't think they could get by at all. It was the Red Sea. The mountains were on both sides of them, and the army of Pharaoh and his army was behind them, and before them lay the Red Sea. And in chapter number 14 and verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Stand still and see what God's going to do. Now listen. When you stand still and hear the word of God, and you stand still and let the Lord reason with you, and you stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Lord and redemption and believe in that, then you can just stand still and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord did all the work here. They did nothing. Oh, well, Moses stretched out his rod, but that was insignificant. God miraculously rolled back the waters, and the people passed through, and they came out of Egypt. They went on and toward the promised land. That was a very simple salvation that God wrought in Egypt that night. All they did was they heard the message that judgment was coming. They heard the message that God had a wondrous way to save them through the blood of the Passover lamb. They applied the blood. They considered that. They applied the blood, and all they did was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Nothing that much they did, other than apply the blood and believe what God said. And that's the simplicity of God's salvation. So you do have to take a stand to believe, to be saved. You have to stand still and hear the word of the Lord. That's how faith comes. You have to stand still and listen to the reason of the Lord about your sins. You have to stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Lord. And when you believe that, you could just stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. You'll be like Simon the priest, who said, "Mine eyes have seen God's salvation." It's so simple. When you see yourself as a sinner, and you see the wondrous works of God, and you believe that, and you repent, and you believe that, then you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. May that Lord help you, if you're not saved, to see that wonderful salvation, the wondrous works of God, tonight. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow to thank Thee for Thy wonderful works toward the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward the children of men. And we do praise Thee, and we do thank Thee, not only for saving us, but we thank Thee for the great provision and the offer of salvation that's still extended to a wicked world all around us. We're amazed at Thy long-suffering. We're amazed at Thy grace and mercy. We marvel at it, and we thank Thee for it. We ever pray Thy blessing upon any in our company that's not saved, and we pray Thy blessing upon any under the sound of the gospel, maybe at this very hour, we pray Thy blessing upon them to open their benighted eyes to their sin and to the wondrous works of Thy salvation, so that they might stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So we